Yo, it's your boy Jared the Great, and you are tuned into a brand new episode of Just Jared the Dignified Delinquents. All that in one. This is a special episode too. Got a special guest in the building, man. This is a full circle moment for us. My voice is in and out because I did about six of these episodes.
Right.
So y'all bear with me, but I'm excited about this one because my guy is here. He is your favorite comedian.
Wow.
He is a all around stand up dude, mentor. You may know him as Uncle Rodney. Roddy Perry is in the building.
Uncle Rodney.
How you doing, boss man?
I'm great, Jerry, man. I'm a fan and you know, it's been dope to watch your progression.
Yes, sir.
Man, and I can't be more proud. It's like, you know, you like one of my kids, man. You grew up, you're a man now,
yes,
you
sir.
Know, and it's good to see you at a dignified language. Matter of fact, we might have talked about it early on about you doing these, you know, by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it kind of evolved into that, you know. I'm sure everybody don't always have your same passion.
For sure, yeah.
And that's the only thing about the game. But
yeah.
It's all good.
I appreciate, you know, people putting their time in when they can, but, you know, it's a passion for sure to jump on the road, drive 5 hours to Atlanta, knock six of these out, lose my voice, wake up the next morning, do it again.
So that's
how serious I am about it.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, we talk full circle off mic. We go back to 2015.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So this is how crazy this moment is. I was a student going into my senior year, Jacksonville University.
Mm-hmm.
You came through, you, Kiana Dancy. You were doing a show in Jacksonville. You stopped by the radio station. You were my first celebrity interview at the radio station.
Get out of here.
You were the first celebrity interview at the radio station. So I appreciate you for that.
I remember you being prepared. I remember you like having real questions and you didn't ask no BS.
Yeah.
And Keanu and I were on the road at that point for Bounce TV.
Mm-hmm.
Not for Off the Chain, but for another show, and they were sponsoring a tour and all that good stuff. So yeah, it was a good time.
Full circle moment. And then from that moment, it got me into where I am now today when it comes to podcasting, media, entertainment.
Yeah.
And then to come back, was that almost a year ago today, you were in Tampa, Florida at the Improv. And you let me come in and you let me do a guest spot with you.
And you did your thing, man. Jared the Great is great. The boy is funny. Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate that. So it's like those moments that you've done for me.
Yeah.
But also I'm sure countless others where like that's why you Uncle Rodney. Like lean on you. Now, damn it, we'll call you. You'll hang up on us, but we know that you're
there. I'm a little abrupt with my hang up sometimes too. Like, man, I thought we were still talking. Like, you was gone. But, I was talking to Reed O'Brien. He and I do a podcast together called We Finna Argue, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were talking about is that he's like, Rodney, he's like, ain't no way you affected so many different comedians because they come on the show. And I was like, you know, I was the first one that did blah, blah. I'm the first one that told him to do. He's like, you lying. He's like, you lying, Rodney. I was like, no, it's true. A lot of people, I affected their first days because I believe in embracing the young people.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have a long career, you're going to need people to champion you when you're not in the room.
Yeah, for sure.
And what better person than somebody you helped at some point?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what was pivotal about the improv at the Tampa improv situation. I talked to Clint Cole. Shout out to Clint. Go get his merch.
Yeah.
I was talking to Clint Cole.
Is that Clint's merch?
This is his Bears Them Sugar
that's,
merch.
Yeah, that's
this,
crazy. That's, I like that, Clint.
But Clint
gets on my nerves too, Clint. For the record. But go ahead.
I think it's just that Philly in them. Anybody from Philly, you can't talk to them.
They're abrasive guys. But they're industrious too, which I love that about them. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. He was telling me, he was like, dog, your only goal whenever you're doing these guest spots, when you go with Rodney, when you go with DL, when you go with Roy, anybody, your only goal is to get X back to come to the second show. Like if you do that 7:30 show, he said your goal is for them to say, hey, are you going to stick around? So I did the 7:30 show with you. We wasn't planning on staying in Tampa. So I thought I was just going to do the 7:30 and you were outside taking pictures with fans. Then everybody, it was over. You would come back in and get ready for the second show. And you pointed at them. You said, Jerry, you going to stick around for number two? And that moment felt like when, who's the guy, Johnny Carson, when he invites you over to the soap.
To the couch.
To the soap. That's what that felt like. I was like, shit, I guess let's get a hotel because we're going to be down here for a minute.
Wow. That's good stuff.
So that's how pivotal you have been in the early steps of my career. Wow. So
we all have those. Every great journey start with a single step, man. Yeah. And as we navigate this life and this journey, this thing we call comedy, it ain't for the faint of heart, man. And somebody got to give you a leg up.
Yeah.
David Arnold and I, God rest his soul. I was just talking to his role manager the other day. And, you know, he was a teacher of comedy. Mm-hmm. And we used to talk all the time. I say, David, why the fuck are you peppering the world with all these horrible comedians? And he's like, Rodney, he say, it's not that. It's just to give a guy the one piece of knowledge that'll help him not make X, Y, Z mistakes.
For sure.
And, that was his philosophy. And we miss him.
Yeah, absolutely. RIP to the great David A. Arnold.
Yes.
Now talking about comedy, you were one of the, a few people who during 2020 doing, I say this word crazy, COVID, during COVID, you were creating avenues for everyone. I think that you probably gave somebody the boost to do comedy.
Right, right.
Because you would do open mics on, was it Instagram Live?
Instagram Live. We would go live. Well, this is the thing. I was still trying to find my identity online. Mm. And what better time to do it is when people are stuck in the house.
Right.
And so because of that, I was like, Ali Siddiqui had created this whole thing. It wasn't open mic though. It was a comedy show. Mm-hmm. It was a live comedy show. And I was like, you know what? You can't have that without this. Mm. You need an open mic where people can just pop up and maybe get on.
Yeah.
And so I created that. I met a lot of young comics that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And, it was a great time, man. And, it helped me personally kind of find my way online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How has that been? Cause as the game of comedy evolves, and is the word I would use.
Yeah. Very good word.
You have to find your footing in this new arena. Mm-hmm. So I was in Orlando and, I was watching Roy Wood Jr. on stage and he was killing.
Great comedian.
And he came off and he's a great guy because he's like, hey, whatever y'all need, ask, go. So a comedian asked him a question about, you know, the importance of having a social media balance with a stand up presence. And Roy told the guy, he was like, listen, you did my show tonight. It was 300 people in here. You go home, make a viral video. That's 3 million people.
Yeah.
He was like, so you need this, but you also need that 3 million online because that's going to feed this.
Absolutely. So this is the way I look at it. This is the difference. Essentially, when I was coming up, you had to get on television and or film. Mm-hmm. And that thing has changed. So, where it used to be that the way you get famous has changed. Mm-hmm. And you can get famous from your phone and you really got more control than you ever had right here. Right in the palm of your hand. And so, like you said, 3 million or 300,000 or 30. Mm-hmm. If you get 30 people that really mess with you, that's a good day in your city.
Yeah.
And you can go to X Club and be like, man, I got 30 people gonna come see me tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's a good day. That's a great day.
Yeah. That's leverage.
Yeah.
And I love the digital aspect because I'm based in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But
it feels like you're wherever
absolutely.
I am.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can touch the people in California, the people in Atlanta, the people wherever. And you gave me some great advice, some sound advice. This was in 2021. We were talking about moving. My wife and I, we was like, okay, should we move to Atlanta? Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah. He was like, but then you said, you know, but Jerry, it sounds like you want to do more so the entertainment piece. He was like, mm-hmm. It sounds like you want to do more podcasting, writing. He said, you said, nigga, you can do that from anywhere. You ain't got to come to Jackson, to Atlanta to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, great fucking advice.
You know, the conventional wisdom has changed over the years. Mm-hmm. So when I was a young man in the game, the conventional wisdom was go to LA or go to New York. Mm-hmm. And that was true then. It's just not true anymore.
Yeah.
You can become what you're going to become, you know, where you are.
Yeah.
And social media creates the avenue for that. But, you know, it won't hurt to go to Atlanta, LA, or New York. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's been added to the pie now. You know, if TV and or film is your passion, mm-hmm. But I don't recommend comics to quit their job and arbitrarily go to two of the most expensive places in the world, which is New York or LA. You know, I just don't really advise that. You know, I'm of the mindset that go when you don't have no choice. You know, don't quit your job, get fired.
Yeah, is my advice.
So yeah,
and I think I took that. I'm still rocking and rolling with it. If I'm being completely honest with you, my ideal career, right, would be me having a lot of things in my bag. So it wouldn't necessarily be me being a full-time comedian. I always say if Terrence J, who is a fucking great host, actor,
yeah.
If he could get on stage and do stand-up, he would be in a different stratosphere.
Right.
So my thought is if I can follow that Terrence J model with stand-up on top of it, it's like, yeah, right. Jerry can host. He can write. He can do this. And he can get on stage and he can make this whole room laugh.
Right.
That's the goal. I'm not sure if it's.
I mean, there is like, you know, I'm a spiritual guy. I believe God requires you to trust him at some point. Mm-hmm. And so at some point on your journey, you may have to take a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, now, does that mean quit your job? Does that mean exclusively do comedy? Does that mean act? Does that mean host? Does that mean have a podcast? It may not mean none of those things,
yeah.
But it could mean all of those things. Mm. And so I think God requires us to trust him.
For sure.
At some point. Mm. At some point. And what that is relative to each one of us is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, you been in the game, are we on 30 years now? What year are we at?
Yeah, it's 30-ish.
30
years. You know, at some point, you just stop talking about it. Because people remember you. Mm-hmm. People are like, man, when I was 4 years old, you was on television.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been in the collective consciousness for give or take around 30 years.
30 years. I was just watching probably last week, Johnson Family Vacation.
Huge for me.
Forgot that you was in it. And you were pivotal in that movie too.
Yeah.
Forgot. I was like, damn, look at the young Uncle Rodney right there at the DJ booth.
Hey, Bow Wow was the little boy.
Yeah.
You know, Solange Knowles is in that film. Sid the Entertainer, mm-hmm. who gave me the opportunity. So, real quick story. So, I'm already working with Sid. Sid had a TV show called Sid Entertainer Presents.
With the Raquel Robinson.
Sketch comedy mm-hmm. show. And so it was doing good, but the show came along at the same time Chappelle's show starts. Mm. But Sid is on network TV or Fox TV.
Yep.
And so we got preempted by baseball that year. So the show didn't never kept find the rhythm. Mm. And Chappelle is saying whatever on Comedy right. Central. So that is happening. So the show goes away, but they're preparing to do Johnson Family. Mm. And they had a table read, and I got to play Steve Harvey's part in the table read.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I read Steve Harvey's part. Of course, Steve got the role, but I run into Cedric's role manager, which is Kelvin Bland. Just on the streets of LA. Mm. I was like, man, I need a movie. I know y'all working on a movie. He's like, Rod, we got you.
Yeah.
And Jerry, I can't tell you, man, how many times somebody said they got me and they didn't have me.
Right.
So I thought it was some bullshit. So the next day I get a call. They bring me in. They wanted, the role was for a bit guy. So the bit was going to be the DJ that families was going to battle. The DJ was going to make the record scratch with his belly.
Okay.
And that was going to be the bit. So they completely changed a bit. Mm. They gave me the role. And to be honest, Jerry, that movie has paid me a million times over.
Wow.
Since then. You know, since then. It's been a great, great, great opportunity
yeah.
provided by Sid the Entertainer, his team. And you know, there's another story attached to that, but I ain't gonna say that. Unless you ask
me. We here. Let's hear it. I'm here with you.
Okay, so wow, I don't think I've told this one out loud. You know what? I told it on my page, but I didn't say no names.
Okay.
So I didn't say any specifics. But long story short, well, I'm not sure at all because I even started. Anyway. So I booked Johnson Family Vacation. Cedric's manager is a Kappa named Eric, because you know they Kappas.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is a Kappa named Eric Wrong.
Okay.
And so Eric come to me 2 weeks into production. he and said, executive producers on the movie, he said, Rod, man, you're doing a great job, man. You're doing a hell of a job, man. We're so happy for you, proud of you. And I'm like, man, I appreciate that, man. It's good to see black men, you know, working together. And what you and said is doing is crazy. Right? He like, yeah. But you know, said paid me 20% of everything he get. I was like, get out of here. That's beautiful. That's what I'm talking about. You guys.
Black men.
Doing it. He said, yeah, so we expect that out of you too.
Oh, wow.
So when I booked the movie, I hired a manager to do the deal. That was 10% gone. Mm-hmm. And he asked me for another 20%. That's a total of 30% out of my little $10,000.
Sheesh.
That's $3,000. So,
That's pre-tax.
This is before, this is gross.
Got, okay.
You need to pay 20% out of the gross. Mm. And so I go home, my wife and I talk about it. My wife's like, you got to pay.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You got to pay. You know, you can't trip. But what I know now is that, you know, some people, that's like their little spending money. Mm. You know, so I learned about the game at that point. So I go, I do some research, and I find out you can recoup any monies you pay in taxes.
Wow.
So that 20% I paid him, I saw the next day, I said, man, I got you 20%. He's like, hey, man, you see, Rod, that's what I'm talking about. You're a good dude, man. I'm like, yeah. But I need you to sign this W-9. He looked at me like,
what you mean? Oh,
all right. He looked at me like a little sense of like, all right, Roddy Perry.
You went home, did some homework.
I can't just blow this 20. I got to put this with the good money. Right. And so it's a life lesson, but I can't thank those guys enough for giving me the opportunity because, again, the residuals from that movie, which is what we're striking about now in Hollywood, is exponential, you know. And I will say this to any actor out there. Do a family movie. Family movies have a much longer life. Like, I've always wanted the hood classic, you know, a Friday or something like that. But Johnson Family Vacation, Madea's Big Happy Family, every year, like clockwork, Easter, Thanksgiving, anytime families congregate, those movies get run. Absolutely. And I've been getting that every year for 20 plus years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing. That's amazing. And that shit, you know you're one of the best storytellers on the internet right now.
Hey, I'm all right. All right. You know, I come from a school of that, though. Bill Bellamy is a super great storyteller. Mm-hmm. I was in his camp for a while, and I was also in Jamie Foxx's camp. We was doing the Foxhole back in the day, and nobody tells a better story than Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. How were those Foxhole days, though? Because that was like reality ready. Like you – I'm young.
We were way ahead of the power curve. Yeah. Like nobody was podcasting.
Yeah, and that's what y'all was doing.
It didn't have a name then. We were doing a radio show. And so it was Speedy's Comedy Corner. So Speedy and Jamie are like friends, real deal friends. And Speedy had this show, myself, Corey Holcomb, Clayton Thomas, Tangerine, Thomas now. Who else was on there? Louis Dix. It was so many of us around this table. Yeah. We would go there once a week, and we were rocking. Sometimes you would get to go on the air with Fox.
Yeah.
And Fox would tell all these great stories, man. And he was just, this was dope about Jamie Foxx. He will introduce you to anybody. Mm. Like, Jamie Foxx not going to be standing there with Steven Spielberg and not introduce Roddy Perry. He's not going to do it. And I know people that, I got friends that won't do that.
Yeah.
I got friends in this industry that be like, you don't need to meet Steve Spielberg yet.
Not right now. You ain't ready for that.
Jamie Foxx would be like, yo, Steven, have you met fucking Rodney Perry? This guy, and it give you the best intro.
Big you up.
Ain't nothing like a good vouch.
Yeah.
And Jamie Foxx will vouch for you.
Dope.
That's what make him a special guy.
Dope. And I'm happy to see Jamie Foxx back on the man. I'm happy to see him back. And fucking was great in Who Cloned Tyrone, too, so.
Oh man, he's just a super actor, man. He's maybe the most talented guy in the world. Yeah. And we got to sit at his feet and watch him be great. This is before Ray.
Ray, yeah.
You know, and he's always been funny. Like Jamie, like people say stuff about Jamie Foxx, right? But Jamie was always cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't get no crazy words. But so I'm at a party at Jamie Foxx's house.
You went to one of the parties.
I'm at a party at Jamie Foxx's house. It's, first of all, ain't nothing like it. Jamie Foxx know how to get people together and throw a great party. Yeah. Great party. And so I'm at a party at Jamie Foxx's house. It's the most beautiful people in the world. Like, not everybody's beautiful. Like, I had no business there. So I'm kicking, it's getting late. It's like 2-something, you know. Jamie is on the balcony. And he looked down. He's like, "Hey, Roddy Bray, you still here?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Ain't you married?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "You better get out of here, boy. It's about to go down. It's about to be crazy for being here. Go home.
Did you go?
I heard him, got the hell out of there. Hey, Jerry the Great. I was on the highway reminiscing on the way home. Like, I had a good time.
Now I got to go home and... Back, where you were in L.A. at the time?
Inglewood, California. I lived in Inglewood. Yeah, I went back from the Hollywood Hills to back to Inglewood. Yeah,
I think though I don't know if those moments like that still exist, especially with the invention of cell phones and tech. Right. Like I don't know if you can ever get that again and be secluded with safe and be in a safe space to do whatever the hell we want to do in here.
Hey, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever go back to that.
Yeah.
You know, we got self-checkout.
Yeah. That's, you go to the store, they put your ass to work.
Come here. Hey, I need you ring this up. I need a price check. Hey, man, go price check this shit.
How many grapes I got? I got 6. Let me put them on. Where the grapes? So it's now you were talking about Cedric the Entertainer Show, Cedric the Entertainer Presents. Mm. And years ago, 2015, maybe a couple of months after you were on the radio show, I interviewed Walter Latham.
Okay.
And Walter Latham was telling me a crazy story about how Cedric the Entertainer Show went, but he had a pilot with him, Niecy Nash, Ricky Smiley, Tyler Perry, a same sketch show, but they went with Cedric's show over his sketch show.
Oh, really? And no, I didn't know that.
That pilot is on YouTube, so you can go and watch some of those clips with Madea, Ricky Smiley, Niecy Nash. So I was like, man, that's interesting how, you know,
I remember Niecy getting hot too, because Niecy was on that Reno 911.
Yep.
So she was doing improv stuff already. Mm-hmm. Niecy was hot during that time. Wow, that's crazy, man. Yeah. And the show should have went. Like, I was the audience warm up. Sid called me personally. So he's like, "Yo, Rod, man, you know, we about to do this show. You know, Sid got deep voice. You gotta do this show with him. Won't you be one of my warm-up guys? I can't give it to you outright because, you know, they got Alex Thomas, but I want you to come in.
Okay.
Be my guy." And it was cool, right? So get this, you're a writer. So I don't think I ever told this story out loud either. So myself, Speedy, for Speedy's Comedy Corner, it was a bunch of us. We shot a sketch pilot, right? One of the characters I pitched was a bathroom attendant called Dollar Bill.
Okay.
Dollar Bill did whatever for a dollar. So he in the bathroom, if you gotta check your bags, you running late to the airport, you can check your bags in the bathroom.
For a dollar.
For a dollar. $1. So I'm the warmer guy over at Cedric. It's a great job. I'm getting $1,500 a day. I'm warming up the show. It's a great day. I'm rich.
Yeah.
I'm getting $3,000 a week. I'm rich.
You living.
Literally. I'm living in LA. I can pay my rent. Money is good. Life is good. So I come in. So we do that sketch show and we pitch it over at BET. One of the writers at BET, a guy named Chuck. Chuck gets a job at Cedric.
Okay.
So Chuck hadn't gotten no sketches in that season. Mm. And when you're on a sketch show, that's your job.
You get a sketch in.
You're a writer, but you got to get a sketch in the show.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just collaborating all the time. And, you know, they be side-eyeing your ass like, "You got to give us something funny so we can put in the show." So I come to work, and it's this elaborate set. It's literally like our stage, the Cedric stage was like 2 sound stages. It was huge. Mm. And so I come to work.
Big labia energy.
What if I eat a little cheese every day?
Just keep it.
It's like I have a tolerance. Yeah, for cheese.
Good
same
job
with cats.
Your tolerance.
Like, if I pet a cat every day for the first week or two.
I thought you were going to say if I eat a cat a little bit every day, starting at the tail and just ate a little bit, then I'd be fine. But if I didn't eat a cat for 3 months.
I would totally start at the face. Why would you start at the tail?
If someone put a gun to my head and said, eat this cat.
I'm trying to think of an acceptable scenario.
We're still talking about a feline, right?
Oh, did you think I was talking about pussy?
Maybe. It could go there.
I don't want to eat a cat. I want to eat a pussy.
And the producer came to me and said, man, Chuck finally got a sketch in. I'm like, really? What is it? What is it? What is it? I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it like a huge bathroom. I'm like, what's the sketch? What's the sketch? He got some crazy character named Dollar Bill. And he do everything for a dollar.
Come on, Chuck.
I was like, wow. Chuck stole my idea.
Chuck stole your whole.
And the BET people was like, that shit's whack. They had already shitted on it.
Yeah.
Two years before. And he pitched that idea and it went.
Where's Chuck now?
Verbatim. I don't know what Chuck is now. But that's why I'm comfortable saying his name, because Chuck is a piece of shit. No, but I didn't blow him up. But it let me know that Rodney Perry could write for network TV.
For sure, yep.
You know, because that was my idea. And they did the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I don't even think Cedric know this.
Wow.
I don't think Cedric knows where that, you know, I mean, he just came in to work one day and they had a cool idea.
Cedric, you're going to be Dollar Bill today. All right. Well, there we go. Yeah.
And Cedric killed it. And they had money. We didn't have no money, dude. Like, okay. I had a dude have a heart attack in the sketch and we had a defibrillator. And we brought it back together. He woke up and he's like, what I owe y'all? $1. You know, it was a great sketch. But if you get the DVD, which I have the DVD, the Cedric Entertainer Presents, it's on a DVD.
Okay.
And the name of the sketch was Dollar Bill.
Dollar Bill.
Yeah.
And that I think Cedric only did about maybe 10 episodes, 10 runs.
Not even. Because, again, we was preemptive for baseball. Mm-hmm. And then it just the show just never caught on.
Yeah.
Because you got to think the early Chappelle is just starting.
Mm.
So Chappelle is, they on Comedy Central, they saying whatever. It's like they cuss everything.
Pee on you, R. Kelly.
Pee Perry. On you.
Trip, 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 all that.
All that was happening at the same time. So yeah.
So I'm curious about this, Challenge by Choice. I see you on social media. Social media has allowed us to be in y'all world as much as y'all allow us to be in it.
Indeed.
And I see you, are the relationships as genuine as they portray to be? Like, I fucking love Sherry Shepherd. I watch the show every day. And then just to see you pop up on her live and it's like, hey, y'all are good friends. It's like, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, me and Sherry is cool. Sherry is closer to one of my best friends, Bone Hampton.
Okay.
So Sherry is, you know, like, we good. You know, we've been friends for 20 years. I knew her first husband.
Okay.
Matter of fact, he was fixing my computer when he got busted. Oh, cheating on her.
That nigga closed the deal. Hold on. Let me.
He closed, like, don't go through this. It's Rodney. He should have put the shit he was looking at on my computer. Anyway. But yeah. Sherry Shepherd and I are definitely cool. And I was thinking about the other day that I have been on her show.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. You know, she do the Comedy Corner.
So. But we've talked about it, so yeah. it'll happen. And you gotta keep your friends by not really hitting them up for stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, because when they can, they will.
Let it be authentic
and get hot. You know, at the end of the day, your heat might not be hot enough.
Yeah,
you know, I get on Jerry.
Yeah,
I get on Jerry the Great.
Yeah,
I might not be hot enough to get on Sherry Shepherd right now.
Well, goddamn it.
But is the ball is always back in your court, because you can always get hotter.
I think the relationship piece is interesting. I know one of my problems. I'm a fucking old head at heart. Like,
okay.
And I'm 29, but my soul is about 6 or 7.
Okay.
My best friend name is Harold. This nigga 72. Like,
wait a minute, Harold.
like I'm thoroughly, like, just by nature. Even Bobby Brown, a young comedian, he wrote up here with me. He was like, this nigga Jerry is old. I saw a tweet. He was like, Jerry ain't played no new music, like, the whole drive. Everything was in the 70s. Hey. So
good music, classic,
great classic music. Yeah. So I have problem. I have a problem forging those relationships because, like, nah, like I want to hang with Uncle Rodney. Like, let's go smoke a cigar and drink some whiskey. I ain't trying to go see no titties at Magic City. I'll go, but
ain't nothing like good titties.
but I think my wife has said it. My friends have said it. They were like, Jerry, your opportunity is going to come later, just because your soul skews higher. Like, you're not doing what's hot to us in this moment. You want to talk about shit like blood pressure medicine and you are here. So I don't know if you know anyone that's been in that pole where it's like, okay, like he or she has it, but it's not going to be until 7 years from now when that's trendy or when it's comfortable, when those jokes make sense for them to say. Or
I mean, your truth is your truth. Mm. You know, whatever that is, if your truth is authentic, it'll find its way to the light.
Yeah.
You know, and who you are is who you are. And there's always a lot of people like you.
Yeah.
You know, so
just gotta find, you know,
yeah, you just gotta find your tribe, as they say on the internet. You gotta find your tribe and start talking to them, man. And that's why we do these podcasts. Mm-hmm. You got a tribe. You got thousands of people that listen every day.
Yeah.
And so that's true. And, the idea ultimately is to mobilize them and get them and ask them to do things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm learning this, like, if you on YouTube, you gotta say like,
Comment, subscribe,
share. Mm-hmm. You got to say that.
Yeah.
If you don't say it, they just don't automatically do it. They got to, you want me to, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. And so you gotta be willing to ask and willing to do the work, man. That's what you're doing, bro. Yeah. It'll happen.
Okay. I'm telling you, 30
and,
this year.
And you can't be so, like, I remember, like, not wanting to take pictures back in the day, like, but I missed so many moments because I was, you know, I had Ice Cube in my head, you know, get off my dick, nigga, and tell your bitch to come here. You know, that was in my head. So I never asked for pictures, but I've been in so many situations. But it's easier now because we got our cameras on us at all times. Yeah. And so you can grab a selfie or something like that. But yeah, I missed a lot of photo ops because I was in my own head about Ice Cube was in my fucking head.
Yeah.
Fucking Ice Cube, man.
Shout out to Ice Cube and the Big Three.
Yeah, yeah.
so now we were talking about comedy a little bit earlier. I'm gonna swing it back to there.
Swing it.
So we did a show we recorded yesterday, and we had a singer on, and she was talking about the importance of collaboration when it comes to singing. And you know, you go do a show with this person, they'll, you know, bring their crowd and this and the third. And I was talking, I was like, I think stand-up comedy may be one of the most selfish arts.
Indeed.
But it had, like, I think 85 South shows kind of breaking that rule.
Yeah.
But everything else, I think comedians get a feel for going up there. Can I kill it? Can I get the biggest laugh? Can I, like, it's like a high.
Comedy is an individual sport. Mm-hmm. You know, even with 85 South, like, black comics typically don't do improv. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, but what 85 South does is improv. Mm. It's three guys that rock with each other, and it's not the first time it's happened, but it's the first time it happened on that level.
Yeah.
And so big ups to, you know, Chico Bean and Carlos Miller and DC Young Fly,
Clayton English,
Nav. They all found a way to do what we do in front of people.
Yeah.
Like when we stand outside the comedy club, that can happen any night. And, but I still believe comedy is a solo sport. Like, comedy is not football. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. It's track and field.
Yeah.
And so what is track and field? It's individual sport, but from time to time, you get to run a relay with your friends.
Yeah. That's true.
And so we get to see these guys run relays more often than others.
And just to the camera, I'm saying this to Chad Oubre. Drop Rodney Perry's full episode on YouTube so we can watch it. You did the 85 South show, and it was like a 15-minute clip. I was like, what a full episode.
We didn't do a full episode.
Okay, my bad, Chad.
So I went in. I happened to be there with somebody else, and Carl was like, man, come on, nigga. Mm. And so we talked, and we just didn't talk long. We only talked like 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 to 15 minutes. So they put everything that we said. into the show. But yeah, but I got plans to go back over there.
Okay,
because those are my little homies. Yeah. You know, because Carlos Miller was on Who's Got Jokes.
Yep, I remember that.
Clayton English, you know, when he got hot, I was the first one to call him to tell him about clubs and how the money works. Mm. People don't talk about money in this game.
Yeah.
And who else? Nav Green is my guy. Man, Nav Green have been in 3 different movies together, including Coming to America, too.
Nav was in Coming to America, too.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Nav went in back to back, and one of us affected the other. One kind of way we affected each other because we all kind of look alike a little
bit. Gotcha.
And when we went in for the audition, who else is over there? Chris Smokey Jones is over there now. And shouts out to More Than Culture Podcast.
Yeah, Ronnie Jordan.
They're going to be under the platform, under that new platform. Oh, they got over the 85 South.
Oh, nice. Okay, dope. Yeah. No, dope. They and who's my guy? Not Tyler Chronicles is there.
Yes.
But The Secret Genius.
Kamal the Secret Genius. His last name is actually
his
Secret.
His last name, okay.
Yeah, he told me that. Yeah.
So I saw him during COVID. You was doing your show on Instagram Live. But when we did our live podcast here, they do a show called The Last Comedy Show of the Night. Yeah. It starts like at 12.
Oh, the 1 a.m. Secret Show.
1 a.m. Secret Show, yeah. And I went, and my girl from The Daily Show was there. What's her name from The Daily Show? Black girl.
Oh, Dulce Sloan.
She was there. It was a white guy who's done Jimmy Fallon and all that good stuff. But then the damn Secret Genius came up and shut the whole fucking room down.
Secret Genius is so smart, such a great comedian, man. And he had a joke last night. I said, we've been throwing out tags, you know, if he work. And I was about to say, he said, "Right, leave it alone, leave it alone." Yeah. Great guy, great guy, great human being.
That's dope. And Ronnie Jordan, me and Ronnie go back to, if me and you 2015, me and Ronnie 2014.
Oh, wow.
2014. I was trying
to. Ronnie was playing colleges. I almost ran out of a couple colleges, man.
They say those are tough shows. Why are those the hardest shows?
I mean, you're just so far removed from their reality. Mm. And kids now are different. Like, kids now are like crazy savvy. Like, you know, you go to a college now and people talking about side bitches and. Mm. And niggas fucking and shit. Like, it was a time you go to college, they was like, don't talk about that. None of that.
Yeah.
And so it's just a different world, man.
Yeah. That's a tough arena to break into. Ronnie did it flawlessly. I think that he still does on some of the NACA shows, which is where I met him.
Yes.
And it's just they say that Atlanta is the Mecca. Like, they say, like, if you are black in entertainment, mm-hmm. this is the city to come to, the land of opportunity.
It's Wakanda, for sure.
It's Wakanda. Yeah, yeah. So, like, what do you see next for you? Because you're in a different phase of your career. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seasoned. You know, you can't take everything. You can't do everything that you once were able to do. But you still out here ripping and running and doing hitting stages and movies. Like,
oh, I go up all the time. I'm a comedian's comedian, and I'm an actor. I'm a producer. Producing and directing is probably be my next nice. Chapter.
Okay.
As I make my evolution, you know. I love all aspects of the game. I'm a comedian first, mm-hmm. but you know, like the whole producing thing and creative thing, I'm getting into streaming. I'm getting into, you know, producing stuff for streaming and working with some streaming platforms. So that's the next thing.
The next thing for you.
And one thing about Rodney Perry, if I could talk about myself in the third person, is that I've always been ahead of the power curve as far as,
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Being in tune with technology and young people at the same time. Because if you can stay connected, your day, when you don't understand the young people, that's your first day as an old person. Mm. You know, when you need young people. And so I do an episode of Wildin' Out.
Yeah, he killed it.
You know, I do an episode, it. Which was, I was Jerry the Great. Roddy Perry was petrified. Because I saw some of my contemporaries I saw going there and bomb.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to bomb, man. And I was stressed out. And they gave me, you know, Sidney Castillo, who was the little big homie. And Tyler Chronicles was there. And they was like, Roddy, don't worry. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And they gave me jokes. And I was smart enough to just let go and not trip.
Okay.
And so I had the moment with Ari Lennox that was dope. Yeah. They had me rapping on there against the best
conceited
freestyle and rapper in the world. And I'm like, why he picking on me? And I was like, yo, and I had no memory of it until I watched it on TV.
Oh, wow. How long ago did y'all film that?
Maybe March.
March, okay, okay.
Maybe March, April, something wow. like that.
Wow. Yeah. But still being able to jump in that pool and go out there and...
I'm an improv guy. You know, I teach improv workshop. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that. Never Deny Next Level. I've been doing that for the better part of the last decade.
Okay.
So I wasn't in uncharted waters, but the youth of it all was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but you fucking killed it. So yeah. that's
thank
one,
you.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I admire about your work, because I've seen you in a comedy club at the Improv. One show you did this, and then the second you closed on this joke. And then the second show you put the mic down and yelled to the crowd, "Can y'all hear me?" "Yeah, we can hear you." And then you did a fucking dramatic piece. Yeah. And I was like, "What the fuck?" I was like, "What the fuck?
Who is this damn man?
This nigga turned to Othello."
Hey, you know that particular piece, right? Is really an opportunity for me to shout myself out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really self-serving, because inside the joke, I run down my career.
Mm-hmm.
But I let the character do it. You know, I got to talk about, you know, Medea's Big Happy Family, John's Family Vacation. I talk about those things because it's not cool if you sit up and say,
"I did
you
all
know,
this.
I did that." People, you look like a bum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin Hart once told me, he said, "Rodney, don't tell people what you're doing. Let them tell you."
Mm.
And
that's a bar.
And that's a super bar. And, you know, Kevin Hart, who is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But that piece of wisdom, and he's full of those jewels, man. That's a piece of wisdom. It's something I carry with me, because, you know, it's one thing to say, "I did this," but then you look like a chump.
Yeah.
But when somebody say, "Hey man, I heard you, I saw you on Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
I saw you do this, I saw you do that. Man, congratulations, I just saw you on Netflix. I just saw you."
Yeah.
And so you let people make those comments.
It's the validation of my work is showing. People Indeed. Are seeing what I'm doing.
Indeed.
So that's dope. And I got my guy Bobby Brown Jr. here. I'm gonna bring him to the mic. Bobby Brown is a comedian. He recently went to L.A. I think he did Chocolate Sundays.
Is he about to sit on this little bit ass couch with me?
No, he's going to stay right there.
We right here, boss.
So what, because Bobby, you went to L.A., you got plans on, well, I'm not, you tell me, goddamn it. I don't know if you're moving
you
still.
You tell me, goddamn it.
But, you know, we in Jacksonville, so we really ain't got nothing like tangible like that for comedy, man. So I just saved up, you know, like $800. I was like, "I'm going to go to L.A. for a month and see what I can do."
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, you know, showing up at the clubs every night. Lonnie at Chocolate Sunday showed me a lot of love.
Oh, wow.
Threw me up, gave me a spot. And then hanging around the Comedy Store, man. CP, I got to shout out CP. He showed me a lot of love, too, man. He put me up at the Comedy Store at Crack 'Em Up, Michelle Murdoch show.
In the show.
And, I mean, I was already out of my little $800. I had spent that.
Money gone that first day.
LA, the first week, I was I Ubered from the airport to where my homeboy staying out in Long Beach. It was $55.
Oh, hey, dude, you lucky you got off of $55. That was a $100 trip to Long Beach.
Listen, that's the thing. After the Comedy Store Crack 'Em Up show, I didn't realize people hanging out there till 2 in the morning. They hit you with a surcharge. I'm trying to get home back to Long Beach at my boy crib. It's $145. To get home from that bitch.
Yeah. Can I tell you what this nigga did, Uncle Rodney? Bobby, like, he is the king of, like, to let me know, "Jerry, a lot of this shit is just smoke and mirrors. Like, what you see on my story, I'm out here struggling."
And he's hard out in these streets.
So yeah. I was like, damn, I said my dog out there in L.A., he's struggling. He's like, "Jerry, I ain't got no money like that. I rent them 800. I said, well, let me send my dog $50 to get some groceries. Cause he out there for a month.
Real one, right. By the way.
I sent Bobby $50. I said, you are the worst grocery shopper. This nigga brought everything that you wasn't supposed to buy.
What you get, Rod? What'd you get, Bob?
I had some vanilla wafers.
Oh, hell no.
I had some ham and cheese Lunchables in the bag. They got a show called
$75
they
ham and cheese.
They got Food for Less out there. So I went to the Food for Less. I done got Vienna sausages.
They ain't bad.
I probably saved about $44 to get another Uber to the comedy club.
Hilarious. I love it.
So I got you here, and you got the legend here, and who was on your show last week?
Ryan Davis came last week.
Ryan Davis.
And then you
big ups Ryan Davis, man. Yeah. Such a good guy, man.
And then y'all mentioned More Than Culture. I had Tyler Chronicles on Chronicles 2 weeks ago. So they've been showing. Shout out to him and them.
Anything you would want to ask the GOAT, the legend.
Rodney Perry. Man, it's just like I was listening to you say, like, 30 years, man. Is there, like was there a year where you were, like, Tom, where you were like, all right, let me see I'm pretty sure, like, were you always head on for all 30 years, or was there a time where you're like, let me take a step back, maybe I need to go find something else, and then it brought you back to comedy to finish that 30, or did you just...
That's a good question. I only quit once. So I'm in the Navy... I was stationed in New Orleans, and when I got to, I know I'm a comedian, but I get to New Orleans and I go do what they had back then was a gong show. And it was like, I don't know if y'all remember the gong show, the TV show, where people have a big ass gong, pick up, stick up and hit that bitch when you wasn't shit. And so I go do a gong show and I get fucking gonged. And I'm like, man, fuck this comedy shit.
How many years you in it at this point?
Maybe two or three. I get gonged, and then I meet, or like a couple of days later, I meet Harry Ratchford. Harry Ratchford is Kevin Hart's right-hand man. He's got bylines on probably four of Kevin's specials. And he met Kevin through me. Harry was so funny to me. And we was playing dominoes in the barracks in New Orleans, and Harry was playing his Marine name, PW. And Harry looked down the domino, slammed. He said, no, he had a domino in his hand. He said, PW, if I was your dentist, I'd throw a cherry bomb in your mouth and say, fuck it. And he said that shit and slammed the domino on the table. I was like, this nigga is hilarious. I said, dude, you should be a comedian. He's like, what you talking about? We became roommates shortly after. He's like, what you talking about? I said, be a comedian, man. We can do it together. And so Harry Ratchford and Rodney Perry became a comedy team. This is a very little known story about me. And so it was Ratchet and Rod, Comedy Explosion. We did that for a number of years till we got tired of splitting the money. But Harry Ratchford is my best friend to this day. And he's also a Virgo, and his birthday is September 16th. And mine is September 15th. And we were a comedy team at the outset of our career. So this is New Orleans. Tell you who was in our talent pool. Dr. Ken Jeong from the Hangover movies. Who else was around then? A bunch of other people you don't know. But Dr. Ken Jeong was there. And he was right there with us, man, side by side. And we used to do improv back then at the Monterey Whaling Company in New Orleans. That's what we did. That was our open mic. And we'd go be funny, man. So I think that answers your question, Bobby, man, in terms of that's the only time I kind of wavered. And I haven't stopped since then.
Yeah. Is anything ever off limits in comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, it's relative to the comedian, your sensibility. So, you know, it was a time in my life I would say, no, everything is fair, but everything isn't fair because people don't come to get their feelings hurt. They don't come to see a comedy show. So don't get me wrong. If your ass say something in the crowd, I think you want to be famous and I'm going to help you. I'll make your ass be the most famous run in this room right now. But at the same time, I try not to be mean.
Yeah.
You know, that's me. I try not to be mean-spirited. And I've only lost maybe two fans in my career. You know, I remember losing a fan in Cleveland, and it's because I was hustling. You know, after the show, I was trying to sell my little merch, and the lady was like, can I get a picture? And I was like, Hold on. I'm going to get to you. I got to do this. And she's like, oh. And I lost her. Mm. If I ever see that lady again, I want to try to gain her back as a fan. But I lost her in that moment.
Wow.
And to this day, you never really see me hocking merch. Like, it's fans first, then merch.
Yeah. I saw you talk about this on, you jump on Instagram Live and you have Hot Topics. And I'd be wanting to jump on, but I'd be everywhere doing every which way.
All kind of shit.
But you were talking about it, and it's interesting. Thinking about Matt Rife, who, great fucking guy. I met Matt.
Awesome human being.
Yeah, amazing. I met him last year. Cool, coolest dude. But Matt Rife, it's crazy to me, came to the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
2022. This is June 2022.
Okay.
And Bobby works with the Comedy Zone, so he knows how this kind of goes.
Bobby right there.
Bobby Brown Jr. So Matt Rife had a show. He's going to let me do a guest spot. And the tickets weren't moving. And I know the tickets wasn't moving because they started doing the call us right now, you get two free tickets to come see Matt Rife. Buy one ticket, bring your family with you to see Matt Rife.
Yeah, we got to sell these chicken wings.
Right.
Yeah.
So I came into the show, and it was a lot of white women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably 45 people in that room. That room holds about 300.
Yeah.
And he fucking killed. Yeah, he performed like it was 1,000 people in the room.
Indeed. As you should.
The next year, you saw the news.
He gone.
He's out of here. And I'm not saying that he got that because of his crowd work, but his TikTok has, I think, played a part into that.
Absolutely.
And you asked the question, is crowd work comedy? Is that considered?
Ali Siddiqui and I had a real heated debate about this. Ali says it's not.
Okay.
And that's the reason I asked the question. But, you know, I think it's art in itself. You know, D.L. Hughley made a living doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, and that's a gift that everybody can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's people try to do crowd work and be looking stupid up there, you know. And so crowd work ain't for everybody. And matter of fact, if you my feature or my opener, stay out my crowd.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do some crowd work. So you got 20 minutes or 10 minutes, do your set.
Yeah.
You got to say you've been working on that shit for 20 years. Do your fucking set. Stay out of my crowd. Yeah. But crowd work is a thing.
Mm.
You know, not only Matt Rife, but Nate Jackson. Made a career out of it. And so I talked to Nate. Nate said it took me 20 months, Rod. He said, I knew it was going to go, though. He said, I knew it was going to go. He said, maybe 10 or 10. He knew it was about to go. And then he looked up, and the video started catching fire.
Mm.
So, you know, it's almost too late. If you had two people do the same thing and hit, it's almost too late to do that thing again.
Yeah.
But who knows? If you put the right thing up in one video, go. Because Nate told me, he said, Rod, because me and Nate been friends for many years. He been booking me for many years. And so Nate, he said, Rod, you don't know what's going to go. You just got to put it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to put it up. You can't judge it. You can't put it up. You can't make it. And how about this? If you blow up on crowd work, they ain't even seen your material.
Right.
They ain't even seen the actual jokes.
Right.
So you got two guys that's really funny that's got all this material that they ain't even spent yet.
Yeah,
it's great.
And it's I think that it's definitely an art.
How about this? Today. Matt Rife gave the game to Nate.
Oh wow! So okay, so he,
yes,
and then Matt Nate Rife, like, okay, let me.
Nate brought him out to Nate Jackson's Super Funny Comedy Club, and Matt Rife gave him the game at that club, and Nate told me this personally. And, shouts out to Nate Jackson and Matt Rife. Good, both great guys.
Great guys. And Nate flipped it, too, because Nate was the first person I saw with a camera guy on stage facing the crowd.
Right.
And it's like, we're going to get this, like, camera pan, like, behind me, go, get there. I'm over here, go there, get the camera on there. So
yeah, my buddy Jason here, he does, like, a 360 YouTube camera.
I saw that, yeah.
And that's kind of cool, but I don't know. I don't know if I get it. It seemed kind of stupid to me.
I watched you on it because you did it, and I was like, why that camera so goddamn close to his nose? But then as I was moving,
I was
like, oh shit, the camera moving with me. So I was able to watch the crowd react to your jokes. So I was like, that's pretty dope. Now I don't know if I want to sit there for an hour like that, but a good 5 minutes was
vertical. You motherfucker fall off the couch.
Hey, but before I get you up out of here, Uncle Rodney, but you do a daily show.
Yes.
Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I just produced my 200th show.
Wow.
And, well, 202. I did number two of my third season today, 100 shows a season. And, you know, you're a podcaster. So the more shows you got, the more you can get sponsorship and numbers.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to get ads. People want to buy ads and stuff because with a podcast, if you run an ad, it kind of lasts forever. You'd probably not go in and change the ad
if
you do a live read or something like that. So that stuff is coming around. And other than that, man, I do the podcast. I do Never Deny Next Level, which is an improv workshop. I'm an actor. I'm a comedian. I'm a producer. I'm a director. Man, I kind of do it all, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you have a book that people can purchase.
I do Rodney Perry Moments on My Journey. And the book became my script for my one-man show, which I put up earlier this year as well. So, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the legend himself. Are you going to do a special? Can we get a special sometime soon?
So I want to do another special. I did a special with Shaquille O'Neal and the Shaq All-Star people. Orlando, when the All-Star Weekend was in Orlando.
Okay.
I did a special then. Me and Earthquake, we did specials then. And that special, Shaq and them, they had a relationship with Universal. That relationship fell apart. And Earthquake and I specials fell through the cracks in the floor. And so I've been trying to get that special to release myself on the streaming platform. So that still exists. And I'm trying to get my hands on that. But, you know, I don't want to just do a special for the sake of doing a special. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, hey, you see my special? Yeah. Your special ain't special at all. And so, you know, I got the set, I got the material, you know, but I just want to do something really important.
Yeah.
You know, and I got some good bits, so you never know.
If I sat here and read off your credits, we would be here entirely too long. But you are a fucking beast. You are a person that us younger comedians, us younger entertainers, whether you're actor, improv, stand up, podcasting, we see what you're doing. And we want to be a part of it. We want to model what you're doing. It's nothing that I like more or appreciate more is when my phone rang and it's Rodney Perry calling me. Now he gonna hang up on me. He gonna say what he gotta say, and he gonna hang the fuck up. My wife was like, "Damn, was he mad at you?" I was like, "No, he just got the phone.
He just finished talking.
He just finished."
Hey, my kids, my wife, everybody was like, "Man, you just be getting off the phone, man." I guess it's bad because everybody, you're not the only one to say that. I'd be talking, and then it'd just be over, man.
Like, all right, I'm gone. Bye. I was like,
I was trying to hang up on this podcast, but I can't.
Ladies and gentlemen, that legend, the great, the GOAT, Rodney Perry.
Very kind. Very kind, Jerry.
What can they follow you on social media before I close this episode?
Oh, I'm easy to find. Rodney Perry Live on all social media. Rodney Perry Live on all social media. The YouTube is what we need you most, man. Please go to YouTube and become a subscriber. And you can catch the podcast every day there.
Absolutely. And it's your boy, Jerry the Great. You can follow me on all platforms at Jerry the Great. That's Jerry, T-H-A, Great, a.k.a. your favorite gummy bear. I got big gums, Uncle Rodney.
Fuck it, man.